Well, happy November 5th, everybody. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. 2 days after the election. Okay, and of course, we're still counting votes. For those of you who are listening today, you know that. And for those of you who are listening later this week or whatever, okay, you already know who won the presidency. So it's an interesting week, to say the least. All right, and hope you got out there and voted. Obviously, too late now. You have to wait. Okay, if you didn't go, you have to wait. Can't vote now. Hey, we have a wonderful show today with a wonderful person. Barbara Stripling is my guest, and Barbara has a long career, all right, for such a young woman, I might add, in library, school library. She served as president of AASL, which we work very closely with here with our consortium, the American, that's the American Association of School Librarians. We have our consortium of equity. Then she was also president of the American Library Association, president of the New York Library Association, and currently president of the Freedom to Read Foundation. Okay, so I've got really a special guest, and I always say that all librarians are going to go to heaven, but I think when Barb goes, which I hope is a long time from now, I think she's going to get sitting on one of those thrones up there. Incredible career in school library. Okay, we archive everything now over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's our American Consortium for Equity in Education. We invite every pre-K-12 educator and beyond to join for free. Any educator is welcome. It's an industry-supported consortium that we're trying to build up interest and solution and creations to for equity in education. It's a big deal these days, and we're working hard to do it. Enjoy our magazine over at the website. It's an online journal. It's a wonderful magazine. It's called Equity and Access. You'll see it there, the cover of it right on the homepage of the website. Again, ace-ed.org. You can flip right through some great articles, and we got our November issue. We're in the process of putting that together right now, so enjoy the issue that's up there, and all of our podcasts are archived there as well. Pardon my stuffy throat today. I don't know why I woke up with this, but I did. Today we're going to have a nice conversation. We're going to talk about School Library Leaders, which is an organization, I'll call that, but it's an effort of web-based advice service for school librarians, of which Barb Stripling is a part of. And we'll talk about how they're related to the National Collaboration for Digital Equity, other friends of ours. So please, let's welcome Barb Stripling. Hello, Barb. It's Larry here with a scratchy voice. I'm sorry about that.
Hello. It's nice to talk to you.
It's nice to talk to you, too. And are you ready for the throne upstairs that I have suggested you're going to get?
No, right. I just do what every school librarian does. I just find ways to be useful and work at it.
Let me go over that again for how useful you are. First of all, you started in Fayetteville, Arkansas. By the way, are you in Philadelphia now? I notice a 215 area code.
Yes.
I'm from Philadelphia. Where are you from? Where are you living, or where? What part of Philadelphia?
I live in Chestnut Hill, which is a suburb of Philadelphia. I moved here after I retired from Syracuse.
Wow, because I used to teach in Cheltenham, and I grew up right down Wissahickon Drive, cross the river, go down City Line, 76th and City Line.
Wow.
Yeah,
perfect.
I know it well. Believe me, and I know Chestnut Hill, etc. Okay, it's a beautiful part of the world. Okay,
and
you guys are still counting votes. I assume you're involved in that. Yes, you're involved in everything else,
goodness.
Right?
Yeah, it is tense time for everybody.
Well, this too shall pass, okay? We'll see what happens, but it sure is interesting, and let's count every vote. Who cares who wins? Let's count every vote, so we'll see what happens. And I want to say this again. You started in Fayetteville, Arkansas, then you went to New York City, then you became the library educator at Syracuse University, home of the Orange Men, and again, president of AASL, president of the American Library Association, president of the New York Library Association, and before we go further, you're currently president of the Freedom to Read Foundation, which is part of the American Library Association. Just tell people what that is.
Well, it's actually a separate but aligned organization, and it is just what the name is. It is a nonprofit foundation that works to support the freedom to read. And so mostly around First Amendment issues, but that expands, you know, freedom to read, freedom to express, freedom of the press. And we do a lot of public awareness. We sponsor Banned Books Week, for example, which
we just had.
And if there are legislative or local school district type issues of censorship or issues around the First Amendment, we may get involved in the litigation usually by filing an amicus brief. And so we work closely with ACLU and other the National
Wonderful.
Coalition Against Censorship and other organizations. But it's dedicated professionals, not all in the library field, who really believe in the public's right to read and express and have unfettered rights for information.
Hear, hear, my dear. Hear, hear. Keep up the good work. I mean, you're just amazing with all the things that you've done over the course of time and the leadership roles that you have taken. Really, you're to be congratulated, because a lot of people join all the organizations, but they don't get involved in the leadership like you have done and what you're currently doing. So it's just amazing. Good luck with all of that. And by the way, Banned Books has nothing to do with the orchestra. It's B-A-N-N-E-D.
Yeah. Yes, I know. I just make assumptions. But
yeah. Yes. It's not like a Band-Aid. Okay, it's not that kind of a thing. It's B-A-N-N-E-D, just so everybody knows that, okay, so just so they understand. And your school library leader, hence you're obviously involved in this group, school library leaders. And I got to thank my friend Susan Ballard for who introduced me to you, Barb. I love Susan. We've been friends for a long time. This is a web-based advice service for school librarians. What brought this about, and how does it work in conjunction with your old team? You're still good friends over at AASL.
Yeah, well, it's separate from AASL, but you'll notice that all the people on this team are past presidents of AASL, and it formed because we have a lot of experience and wisdom and. And after you're president of an organization, you need to find a way to continue to serve. And what we know is that often the school librarian role can be very isolating. Usually you're the only person in the school. Nobody else exactly understands what you are trying to accomplish. And especially if you're new in the field, it can be a little daunting to figure out, well, where can I go for help? Mm-hmm. If I don't know how to do something, who can I ask? Now, a lot of districts, some districts anyway, have district administrators, and so that would automatically be where a school librarian would reach out. But a lot of districts across the country don't have leadership at the district level. And so you're a librarian in an elementary school and you don't understand how to do something, where are you going to go for help? And we thought, as a group, that we could offer that kind of advice and just be a non-judgmental, helpful, supportive group that offers expertise, maybe, but maybe just some wisdom and maybe pointing people to resources that they may not know about. So it's just what it says, really. We're providing help and support and a caring ear, I think.
And I have to say, more so than ever in this crazy time of the pandemic, okay, where the role of the school librarian has changed. We can talk about that. Actually, I'll talk about it right now. Obviously, questions are coming in regarding the role of the school librarian in these pandemic times. Things have changed, as I mentioned. What questions are you hearing from school librarians?
Well, before I get to those questions, let me talk just a second about the changing role. I worked with a lot of librarians last spring, March through May, and what I saw happen was the first instinct, and it was a good instinct, was to just find the resources, the electronic resources that mm-hmm. would provide support to students and teachers. And so it mm-hmm. mostly librarians shifted easily, some pretty easily, to the online environment, but it was pushing out resources. But that changed because that's not a definition of the librarian
yeah.
role.
Right.
We're teachers and we provide all kinds of support to kids and motivate kids to read and just so much beyond that. So
exactly.
I saw a transition last spring, and we are still in that transition this fall, either through hybrid or totally online or some face-to-face learning to get back to instruction and some of the more professional aspects of librarianship. So the questions have varied quite a bit. Some of them have to do with a problem that is perennial, not just pandemic-related, and that's advocacy. How do we help teachers and administrators understand what it is that we can offer?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, an essential piece
always a challenge. Yeah.
And an essential piece of school librarian's role is collaboration. But if people don't understand what depth and wealth you can bring to instruction,
that's right.
Then it's hard, and it's harder in the pandemic climate. We also had questions which are very much online learning related, and there are at least two or three that are related to the very young learners, the PK through second grade, and these young ones are expected to learn online, some of them. And how do you engage very young children? That's not a natural environment for them, and it's not face-to-face. And so we're trying to help people puzzle through how do you motivate and keep young ones engaged.
Right.
There are also questions on mental health issues.
Ooh, mental health of kids or mental health of librarians, and I don't say that sarcastically.
No, I know. It's a tough time, and I actually have been doing a lot of reading and thinking and work on the social-emotional aspects of the library work, and I think that's a huge role that librarians play in the schools and really need to play in these pandemic times, because it's stressful. It's stressful
it
on teachers, on librarians, but really on the students. And you can't learn if you're stressed out. And so it's not surprising that some kids just didn't even attend last spring.
And currently, I might add, there's a big challenge out there that a lot of kids are just not attending school. All right. It's very scary. Okay.
Some librarians are doing and what we're advising on are the types of programs that are really reinforcing, the types of stories you can read to young ones that let them talk about feelings and understand what they're feeling and share with others and build relationships and friendships. And we're doing things like holding office hours that kids can just come in online and just have a conversation about anything they want to, which is what happens in the real physical library.
Mm-hmm.
We have kids all the time who just need a safe space to feel good. Well, we're trying to do that online for our kids. And so that's kind of the range of questions. There are questions about teaching and building in the inquiry skills that we are committed to and that we know every kid needs to develop. There's some on digital citizenship,
mm-hmm.
and how do we teach that, and media literacy, which is hugely important now.
Yeah, I just wrote that down as a question I was going to ask you. Okay, that's funny. I just literally you said media literacy as I wrote it down. That's funny.
Yeah.
That's so key these days, and librarians are so important for this. And we see that with the election. Okay,
know.
You know, there's so much false information out there. All right, we have to teach kids how to discern what's going on, and that is the librarian's role to a great extent.
Yes, it
really
is.
Truly is. You know, I have to ask Barb, are you hearing that teachers are tapping into the librarian's expertise? All right, this is always a challenge. All right, I have to say that again, but especially now, the school librarian is basically the curator of digital resources. Okay,
yes.
They know what's going on. They know what's out there. They're good at it. All right,
yes.
But do teachers understand, and are they tapping in now? I hope so, more now than ever. I would think so, but who knows? To the librarians.
Well, from the teacher's perspective, not as much as we would hope they would be. But I understand it from the teacher's perspective, because what the teachers are hearing now is that now we've got this huge gap, content gap, curriculum gap, because the schooling last spring was disrupted and not as effective as, and kids stopped out. And so you have to double down on the content. You have to do twice as much curriculum this fall as you normally would, because you've got to catch them up from everything they missed last year, plus all they're doing this year. And the teachers are worn to a frazzle. The idea of then bringing in another element and of sitting back and planning this wonderful inquiry unit or a unit on media literacy, it's a difficult lift, and we're just going to have to get through it together.
I agree with you, but let me swing that around and be the devil's advocate for a second. The librarians have so much to offer, and the teachers are so frazzled that if they tap into the librarians' expertise, okay, it's going to be the librarian, I'll use it this way, can take over certain aspects of it and relieve the teacher of that.
Absolutely.
In other words, it doesn't all fall on the teacher in the classroom.
Right.
However
and
you define classroom
ideal.
These days. Yeah. And so I want people to understand the role of the librarian is really clear. And, you know, school librarians are always advocating for themselves. They don't do enough, as a matter of fact.
Exactly.
All right? And, I hope they do. You know, one of the things I forgot to ask, and I just realized Sue didn't send me this, when we put all this together, how do people find you on the web? How do they get to School Library Leaders? What's the website?
It is. We got a tiny URL.
Yeah, here we go.
HTTPS /tinyurl.com.
Oh, literally, you got a tiny URL. Okay,
yeah,
I thought you were
literally.
Kidding when you said that. Okay, tiny URL.
Yeah,
tinyurl.com
/SCH, capital SCH, capital LIBRARY, capital HELP.
Capital
so it's
school
library
help. School library. Ladies and gentlemen, HELP spells help. I missed that part. Okay. tinyurl.com/SCH, like school, SCH, then library, and then help. I'll make sure I put that on the thing here. So everybody, by your description, so everybody can find that. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
And
you
so
can,
you, what
you,
you get
guys
when
should
you
use
go
a
there
WordPress
is,
site. You should just go to WordPress and create a site.
Well, our site is through the National Collaborative for Digital Equity.
Oh, then yell at Bob and Susan.
Well, yeah, we're working.
Yell at
together.
Them. I'm going to yell at them for that. Yeah, it's easier. Right? Okay, that's funny.
But,
all right.
When you go onto the site, then you get a Google form. Essentially, and so you can just fill it out with your question, and it comes to us in a spreadsheet, and then one of us will respond.
That's good. And how many of you are involved now? I know, obviously, Susan. How many?
Let's see.
How many
I think
experts?
It's, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 14.
And is that enough?
Yeah, I think so.
Good. Okay. Good.
You know, we're passing it off among each other, and some of us are retired and some are not, and we're all just plodding in there. You know, it's a tough time for everybody, and we just want to be helpful.
Yeah, and you guys are always helpful, I have to tell you. This is really key, and they can really ask any question they need to, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Great.
If we don't know the answer, we're going to say we don't know the answer, but here's someone you might be able to contact who does. We're not presenting ourselves as experts.
You are experts.
Well,
you don't have to present yourself as an expert. You are experts.
Well, in some things, but there aren't just single answers to anything. So what we're offering is our wisdom, but somebody else may have different wisdom. You can take it and hope that it's helpful, but we'll also point people to other ways that they can get information. And that's important. This is a human adventure.
If anybody should know that, it's the school librarians.
Yeah.
Okay. That there are
right.
other places to go for information. How true that is, for goodness sakes. Talk about for a second, if you don't mind, the national. We've mentioned it a couple of times. Bob McLaughlin's group, the National Collaboration for Digital Equity, of which you are a part of. And
yes.
I assume if you go over to their website, this will be linked. I'm assuming that.
Yes, it is. Well,
okay.
Yes.
There you. National Collaborative for Digital Equity, everybody.
Yes.
Okay, go over there. All right, so talk about what their work for a second, how you're involved with them, that kind of thing.
Well, this is a really wonderful organization that
is
concerned about the inequities involved when you get into the digital environment. And
mm-hmm.
often what you think is, oh, well, it's inequitable because people don't have the machines. And so they just hand everybody a computer and say, well, that's fixed. But no, the second piece is they don't have the training to do it. And so that's kind of the second
mm-hmm.
level. And librarians, that's where they really step up. That's the media literacy piece, for one. But there's a third layer that the National Collaborative is working on, and that is the marginalization of the lowest socioeconomic
yep.
levels and the people who don't have the same opportunities. Even if they had the machines and the training, they just don't have the opportunities. And so part of it that they've identified is something like the homework gap. And that is that kids are in school and then they get an assignment and they have to complete it at home. But think about the difference in the environments that our kids are going home to. Some
mm-hmm. You're right.
are going into their own bedrooms with their own desk, with their own computer, with their own printer. Fine, they can do that. But others may have to share a computer, may not even really have one, but if they had one, maybe they have to share it with others. Maybe they're taking care of brothers and sisters. Maybe they don't have their own bedroom. You know, there's just lots of pressures on our kids that provide real inequity that needs to be solved systemically. And so the NCDE is working with banks, largely.
Bob has done a great job of that, to find the local funding that's actually there and nobody taps into it. It's incredible. I forget the name of that act. There's an actual act that allows this. Okay,
CRA
and Bob
or something like that.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah, because banks have to spend a certain amount on public service type activities.
Who knew?
Recovery, local recovery type activities, and they weren't finding anything to spend it on. Well, this is a perfect
Here we go.
Thing to spend it on. And so the collaborative with them, that our efforts with them, is that Bob recognizes how important it is to have school librarians involved, and that kids, you know, we're finding that there's a real inequity in the schools that have librarians and the ones that don't. And if you had to predict the ones that don't, you would predict what neighborhoods they're in. The ones where there is lowest socioeconomic level,
mm-hmm.
those tend to be the ones that are tightest on the budgets and don't then spend money on a school librarian. Well, by blending it into this effort on equity and recognizing how much school librarians can contribute to it, it's a natural alignment for us.
It sure is. And by the way, I want to let everybody know, I was looking this up as you were speaking, though listening at the same time, Madam Librarian, okay? And just so you know, if everybody, I'm going to put this, make sure everybody has this on the description as you listen. It's digitalequity.us, all right? And then if you go to the icon that says initiatives, the top one will take you to school library leaders, okay? So it's the National Collaborative for Digital Equity, which is at digitalequity.us, then go to initiatives and it'll take you right there. How's that?
Yeah.
Is that good? Is that good research,
yeah.
Mrs. Stripling?
Yeah,
is that
good?
Good? Dr. Stripling, is that good? Is that good? See, I learned from the library. You know,
yeah,
always
you must have had a good
there you go, I'm a good student. It always strikes me. I went to a school in Philly called, I think it's a high school now, but it was a new elementary school when I went, called Lamberton. It's in West Philly in Overbrook
uh-huh.
Park. And right down City Line Avenue for you after you cross the bridge. Okay, go down to 76th. All right? And
uh-huh.
and the school was brand new post-World War II, but it had this gorgeous library. Okay,
oh.
right in like where the L shape of the school, and right in the middle of it, so it was kind of a roundish library, was the school library, and there was no librarian. The whole time I was there, there was no school librarian. And I don't know whether they just didn't have them in elementary schools in those days. I mean, there were only 7 books. That's how old I am. There were only 7 books in the world. But it's unbelievable.
Well,
okay,
you know, actually, there is a shortage in a lot of areas, even though school librarians are losing jobs in some places because they're eliminating the position. In
That's
other places,
yeah.
they're trying to hold on, and they can't find anybody. So we're really trying to fill in a lot of gaps. Because we recognize how important it is.
It's more important now than ever. And
yes.
You know, and again, I'll say this again, with media literacy and digital resources being the two important things in schools,
yeah.
all right? And that they are key, all right?
Yeah.
It's the school librarian that makes the difference. I don't get it, but you guys are there to help school librarians that are there right now, okay?
Yes.
And again, I'll make sure when people click on the show, they can see exactly where it is. Barb, this is wonderful. It's a pleasure to know you.
It's nice to know you, too. Thanks for letting
you.
Me.
You joined my pantheon of AASL people. Okay, I go right down. Leslie, Audrey, Carl, Sue, Gail. I
yeah.
go right down a whole list. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
You're in the pantheon.
Yeah,
you know,
wonderful.
It's just
people.
Incredible. And how's Chestnut Hill these days during the pandemic? Quiet?
Oh, it's quiet.
Beautiful
it's
there.
Quiet, but lovely.
No, it is. It's a beautiful
yeah.
part of the city, I got to tell you. Right kind of in the park, if I may. It's just gorgeous there.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're very lucky. You moved down there from Syracuse?
I did.
Wow.
Had to get rid of the snow.
You didn't. Well, Philly, they get snow in Philly.
Yeah, but nothing like Syracuse.
Okay, that's true. I live in Maine now, so believe me, I know the difference.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, wow, just incredible. All right, so good luck. Enjoy Chestnut Hill. Give my regards to the old place,
thank
all right?
You.
Okay.
Thank you so
and
much.
Thank you. Now, keep
all
up
right.
the good work, okay? We
all
love
right.
what you guys do, all right? Thank you,
thanks.
Barb.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, what a great lady, huh? Barbara Stripling, everybody. And again, just look it up through the National Collaborative for Digital Equity and go to initiatives. I'll put it up here on the on our description of the show so you can get to it. All right. We'll archive over at ace-ed.org. That's ace-ed.org. That's our American Consortium for Equity in Education. Join with us, please. Membership is free. We want your voice out there. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.